Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, and Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy, with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, the young child will put his hand in a viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nation will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. From Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
During Advent, we have been looking at some of our most beloved Christmas hymns and Christmas carols, and looking at the gospel message that they communicate to us. Today, we're looking at the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. The scriptures that we just read form a context for our consideration of the names of Christ that we find in that hymn. I'm not going to really preach those scriptures, but they give us the context from which the names that we find in the hymn come, or at least some of them. And we're going to take our time this morning to reflect on the Old Testament and some of the New Testament names of Jesus given to us in the hymn. It goes well for us on this day, because normally on the third Sunday of the month we have a special time of prayer, whereas we're in this season of discerning God's will for our church, and the third Sunday evening of each month we gather to pray, to sit with God's word, and to listen to him about his good plans for us. And so I'm hoping that as we move through this message today, that in the word, that we will hear God's loving heart towards us as expressed in the names of Jesus, and that we in turn will express our heart of love to him using those same descriptive names. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus is God with us. And even more than that, Jesus is God in us. Jesus said this: "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We are created for union with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed this prayer before he died: "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus prays for our complete union, our unity, our oneness with him and the Father and the Spirit, that will then, and only then, translate into unity with each other, which bears a transforming witness in this world. John Eldridge illustrates our union with God in this way. I'm going to ask you to get a little physical with me here. John says, most Christians live like this. Put your hands together, would you? Just like this. We believe in Jesus. And we have a sense of being close to God. Like this. But the life that Jesus promises us, when he says, I will be in you and you will be in me. Now take your hands and do like this. This is the life Jesus has promised us. Him in us. We in him. Our lives inseparably intertwined together. We are created for this unity with Jesus. Thank you. Our hymn says, we mourn in lonely exile until the Son of God appears. There is a mourning and a longing until Jesus comes again to make all things new. But there is also a sense of mourning or longing. The deeper we grow in the Lord, there's a moaning, a groaning, a crying out of our spirit for the life of the Son of God to be formed in us. And it's a lifelong endeavor. We will never fully complete it. And yet, the deeper we go into it, the greater our joy. The more we experience of the love of Jesus for us. The more we experience of the very presence of God filling us and doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Paul wrote this. For those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. God is working our whole life to make the life of Jesus visible through us. Where do you long for the life of the Son of God to be fully formed within you? Where do we long to see the life of the Son of God fully formed in our church family? As we think of those areas, we can say to Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, and form your life in this area of my life. Come, Lord Jesus, and form your life in this area of the life of our church. Would you join me as we pray together? Pray with me. Come, Emmanuel. I believe you are alive in me. Form me into your image. I give myself completely to you, Jesus. Make me like you. Amen. Would you sing our prayer to the Lord?
Captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Isaiah says of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. The Apostle Paul adds this, he speaking about those who are outside of Christ, consider Christ to be foolishness, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God alive in us. Isaiah tells us that Jesus is our wonderful counselor. So how does Jesus counsel us in our everyday life? Primarily through the Word and the Holy Spirit. Now, there are other ways, but I'm not getting into those today. We want to talk about the Word and the Spirit. When we hear or read God's Word, the Holy Spirit, who is the life of Jesus in us, locks into our mind and heart what He wants to teach us or how He wants to guide us. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He knows all, controls all, sustains all, and He is available to us 24/7. James, the brother of our Lord Jesus, wrote these words, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Wisdom will be given to you. God is for us. He is not against us. He wants us to flourish. He knows we need wisdom, and He gives to us the life of Jesus in us to provide us with wisdom to love and obey Him, which always only leads to our well-being. In your life, where do you need wisdom today? Where do you sense that our church family needs wisdom? We can come to Jesus and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, be my wisdom for this right now. Come, Lord Jesus, be wisdom for our church family. Let us pray together. Oh, come, wisdom. I believe you are alive in me. Form your wisdom in me. I give myself completely to you, Jesus, to shape my life according to your wise guidance through your word and by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing our prayer to the Lord.
Oh, come, our wisdom from on high, who ordered all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in his ways to go. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Mighty God. Have you ever been afraid that Jesus just might not come through for you this time? Fear not. Jesus is your mighty God. Sometimes we hear it said, God will not give us anything that we cannot handle. When we think about that, we must trust that people mean to say, God will not give us anything we cannot handle without Him. We know through personal experience that God often, by design, gives us more than we can handle by ourselves. Our loving Father spends our whole life teaching us to depend upon Him and not on our own strength, our own intellect, our own resources. He intentionally allows us into situations that require of us more than we have to give, so that we will turn to Him to supply that which is lacking for us. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. With me, you will. But apart from me, without me, you can do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that we literally can do nothing. We can be full of activity, and we can be doing lots of things in our own way, in our own strength, in our own ability, for our own purposes. When Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, what he's saying, you can do nothing that will ultimately bring glory to God and secure your well-being. Apart from Jesus, we can only do things for our own glory. that will ultimately lead to our humiliation before God. God saves us from ourselves by from time to time, and sometimes for a long time, giving us more than we can handle, so that we learn complete dependence on our mighty God who lives in us. It is interesting that our hymn directly associates Jesus with the mighty appearance of Yahweh on Mount Sinai to his chosen people, Israel. In Exodus 19, we read, on the morning of the third day. We'll read that again. Keep that in your mind. It's important. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. And everyone in the camp trembled. Jesus is Yahweh, come in flesh and blood to keep his covenant promise to save his people from their sins. Remember, it was on the morning of the third day that Jesus, with might and power, arose from the dead. Jesus is our mighty God, rising in triumph over sin, death, and hell. We are held safely in his mighty hands. Are you in a situation this morning that is more than you can handle? Your mighty God, Jesus, is there to give you everything that you sense you are lacking. We can say to him, come, Lord Jesus, be my mighty God in this time of need. Come, Lord Jesus, be our mighty God in the midst of our church family, providing what we need. Let us pray together. Oh, come, mighty God. I believe you are alive in me. Show your mighty power and deliver me from all my sin, all my disappointments, and all my adversity. I give myself completely to you, Jesus. Make me completely dependent on your mighty power for the honor of your glory and my well-being. Amen. Let us sing our prayer to the Lord together.
Oh, come, great Lord of mine, whose dew drives on Sinai's height. In ancient times did give the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, Emmanuel, look unto thee, O Israel.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The angel Gabriel gave this message to Mary. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. One commentator made this observation. Quote, Though the line and lineage of David appear to be decayed and dead, yet a little sap still lived in the dry roots, and a little sapling sprang out of it. A lad in Nazareth who grew up before the Lord as a tender plant from the stump of Jesse. End quote. In the coming of Jesus, Yahweh was faithful to his promises to King David to establish David's throne forever. We can trust that Jesus, our branch of Jesse, will keep his promises to us too. There are many wonderful promises to which Jesus will prove faithful and true. But perhaps none is more important than what we read in John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. It is upon this promise that we can confess with confidence, I am not my own, but I belong, body and soul, in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In what area today are you struggling to believe that Jesus will deliver on his good promises to you? Where are we struggling as a church family to believe that Jesus will show himself faithful and true to us? We can say, come, Lord Jesus, show yourself faithful and true to all your promises in your word. Come, Lord Jesus, fulfill the good promises of your word for me and for our church family. Let's pray together. Oh, come, branch of Jesse, I believe you are alive in me. Grow within me deep confidence that you will fulfill all your good promises to me. I give myself completely to you, Jesus. I belong to you, Lord, body and soul, in life and death. You are my faithful Savior who will surely keep all your promises to me. Let's sing our prayer to the Lord.
Oh, come, O branch of Jesse, stem unto your own and rescue them from depths of hell, your people. People say, and give them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. shall come to thee, O Israel.
Jesus says these words in the book of Revelation to the church in Philadelphia. These are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. This fulfills the prophecy found in Isaiah 22:22. Quote, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. End quote. The result of Jesus' possession of the key of the house of David is that he can irreversibly open and shut the door. Christ, David's descendant, can open to us access to God's presence and his messianic kingdom. He is our key of David, and he has irreversibly opened to us access to God and brought us into his kingdom. Jesus tells the saints in Philadelphia, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. O weary soul, Jesus says, hold on to what you have. What is it that we have that we hold on to? We hold on to our union with the life of Jesus in us. That is what makes us a Christian. We belong to Him. And our life is inseparably intertwined with Him. When we are tired, troubled, discouraged, in pain, sick, or dying, Jesus says, hold on to me. You are safe in my mighty arms. I am coming soon to save you completely, and you will be crowned with glory in my presence. For I am the bright and morning star. Before the rising of the sun, before the dawn of time, I am your bright and morning star who leads you out of the darkness into my glorious light. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so, Shall we join our voices with the voices of those who held on to what they have and have proven themselves victorious by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb? And we shall lift our voices in praise with them. Let us praise our King together. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. In all his names, Jesus communicates to us that he loves us, that he is 100% committed to our well-being. And he wants us to experience his deep love for us every day of our lives and then forever in eternity. Jesus calls to us and says, "Oh, come. Oh, come to me, Emmanuel, family of God. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, and you will find the place of my rest to be glorious." Would you stand together as we pray one more time, and let us pray. Key of David, we come to you. Hold us safe until we see you face to face. Bright and morning star, we look for the glory of your presence shine upon us and through us. King of the nations, we pledge to you our loyal devotion. Help us to do your will until you show yourself to the world as King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.